In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this morning's gospel, the Lord gives us a perplexing teaching. He says to this young man who's come to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." Sell all that you possess and give to the poor. What an overwhelming idea. I mean, we hear these things in the gospel, and we sort of write them off immediately. We say, "That's impossible. I'm just going to forget that I heard that." But our Lord did say it. And we need to ask ourselves, why did he say it? And what relevance does it have for us? Well, first of all, the Lord gave this instruction, this guidance, to this young man because he could see how this young man's heart was weighed down with his attachment to possessions. You know, our wealth, our riches, our possessions, whether they be great or sometimes even if they be strong, be small, they can have a strong hold on our hearts. Probably most of you are familiar with the story of Scrooge, A Christmas Carol, and how before he met the three ghosts of Christmas, past, present, and future, he was first met by his old friend, Jacob Marley, who was a ghost who, with chains weighing him down. These chains were connected to, you know, bags of gold and money boxes, and he was condemned because of his love for riches. He was condemned to wander the earth as a ghost, weighed down by these weights. But this symbolizes what is true of us, even though we can't see the weights, even though we can't see the chains. When we are concerned with material things, they drag us down toward the earth and keep our hearts from ascending to God and being present with Him. They consume our attention, both in terms of all the work we have to do to manage those possessions, you know, like you own a house, but the house owns you. You know, and all of the work that you have to do. For example, if you have money to invest, you have to keep watching the investments and, you know, managing all of the ups and downs and uncertainties, and it consumes your attention. But then, even in a more pernicious sense, we can become attached to those things so that we're afraid of losing them. And that fear keeps us in bondage, keeps us from being free often to do the right things that God wants us to do. So our Lord gives this guidance to the young man, first of all, because it's for his good. It's not that the Lord is making some unreasonable demand, like prove your loyalty to me by selling all you have and giving it to the poor. No, he gives him that command for his good, in order to save him. But also, the Lord gives this instruction to the young man because he asks for it. Notice that piece of context. This is not a teaching that the Lord actually shouted from the mountaintops to all the people, you know? In other places, he gave general teaching publicly to everyone. But here, this is a specific man who comes to him and asks him, and the Lord gives him this response because he asks him. And specifically because this man, the Lord recognizes as a true seeker, as someone who is truly and earnestly and really with angst seeking salvation. So this young man comes to Jesus and asks him this question. We know that in other Gospels, people come to Jesus and ask him questions in order to trip him up, in order to test him. But that's not what's happening here, obviously, because the young man comes to him, and the Gospel says, kneels before him to ask his question. I mean, think of that posture of submission and begging. He's literally begging for an answer. He's not coming from a position of pride, but from a position of humility. And kneeling before him, he asks, "What do I need to do in order to gain eternal life?" And Jesus first challenges him a little bit to correct his idea of who Jesus is. He says, "Why do you call me good?" And of course, Jesus is good. But he says, "There is no good, there's no one truly good, but God alone. There's only one who is good, and that is God." So Jesus is good, and in fact, he is that truly good. He is that divine goodness. But this man maybe thought of him as a merely human teacher. And so the Lord challenges him to say, you know, look, I'm not just a human teacher, but I am the good God himself before you. If you call me good, know why you're calling me good. And then he goes on to say, if you would enter life, keep the commandments. And this is actually, that is a very short summary of the message of both the Old and the New Testaments, that life comes from obedience to God. Death, on the other hand, comes from disobedience to God. And not just physical life and physical death, but the fullness of life and then the absence of that fullness of life. So we're talking about, in terms of eternal life, the life that is worth living, a life of meaning, a life of hope, a life of peace, a life of love. All of these things only come through obedience to God. The man answers him, which commandments? See, this is how serious he is. He's like, I want to make sure that I've got all my boxes checked. I need this eternal life. So Jesus says to him, basically the Ten Commandments. You shall not kill or commit adultery or steal or bear false witness. You have to honor your mother and father and love your neighbor as yourself, which sums up all those commandments in relationship to our fellow human beings. And then the young man says something which we could misunderstand. He says, all these I have observed from my youth. Wow, that's a bold claim. How many of us could say that we have honored our father and mother from our youth? Perfectly. How many of us could say that we have not lied ever? So is this just an empty boast? I don't think so, for two reasons. Because he's not self-satisfied. He says, I've done all those things, but what am I missing? What do I still lack? He realizes that he is still in need. He's not experiencing that eternal life that God promises. Now, there's another detail in a different gospel account of the same conversation, where the Gospel of Mark records the same conversation between the young man and Jesus. After the young man says, I've kept all these things for my youth, what do I still lack? Jesus, it says that Jesus looks upon him and loves him. Before he responds, he looks on him and loves him. So obviously, I mean, Christ couldn't look with love on a proud boast. He's looking with love on this earnest seeker who knows that he is still in need. So Jesus says, if you would be perfect, if your righteousness would be complete, then abandon everything in order to follow me. Now there are some who, in the history of the church have literally followed this commandment. Saint Anthony the Great, the founder of monasticism, his life says that one day he was not even in the church, he was walking by the church, and he heard this gospel being read, and he immediately went and sold all he had and gave it all to the poor. I mean, that's simple obedience, and of course led to his great spiritual achievement. This man, this young man, it says, goes away sad because of his great possessions. And really, because the hold possessions have on us, the Lord is right to say, with men, this is impossible. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. The message of today's gospel for us is not that all of you have to go out now and sell everything you have and give it to the poor or you're going to hell. That's not the message that I want you to take from this gospel today. The message is that in order to experience life, the life that Christ gives, more and more fully, and even to its uttermost extent, we have to divest ourselves of our attachment to every worldly thing. And that's not just money and it's not just possessions, but it's also pleasures and fame and everything of this world. The more that we can divest ourselves of it, the more that we can experience the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit within us. So, at whatever point we are at, let us beg God to give us the strength to let go more and more so that we can experience that salvation. To our great and saving God be glory, honor, and worship. To the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.